Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Javon. Let us go before Almighty Yahweh in prayer with humble hearts. Almighty Yahweh, King of the universe, we thank you once again. We thank you for a beautiful Sabbath day you've given us. We thank you for all the brothers and sisters that are here. They have heeded your call to come and worship and to bow down, to give you glory, to give you honor. We thank you for the musicians and all the readings. We thank you for the study this morning. And we pray a special blessing, Almighty Yahweh, on those that couldn't be here, those that are traveling, and those that are recovering from various illnesses, from loss of loved ones. Please comfort those that are mourning the loss of a loved one. And also, we thank you also for a praise report, Almighty Yahweh, that you are lifting up servants that are having difficult times. Even though recoveries are far, you still have lifted up some of the brothers and sisters, and they can be here or they can be at home and watch. So we give you praise and honor and glory for all the wonderful things you're doing for all your servants and for those that are yet to come into the fold. Abba Yahweh, please guide my words. May they be your words. May you season them, and may they be beneficial to us and to those outside. And in Yahshua's name we pray, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if some of you all were here at Tabernacles, but we were over there in the recreation building in the kitchen. Some of the brothers were talking about encouragement. This lady comes, this sister, she gave us this thing here. It's in plastic here. Scriptures for encouragement. I didn't think about using them, but I do want to talk about encouragement. Ancient words. Before I begin, I'd like to say Shabbat Shalom. And as it says in Jude 1 and verse 2, compassion and peace and love be increased to you. So one quick question. What did one hat say to the other hat? I'll give you a minute. You stay here. I'll go ahead. I thought that was kind of cute, you know. I said, you know, I think I'll use that. Okay, so I got a question. I figured on the way up here, I think, you know what, let's do some crowd participation. I don't do quizzes, but so how many people here, if you're online, you know, you could raise your hand. How many of us here are baptized into Yahshua's name? That's quite a few. So the next question, how many of you are converted? All right, because I was listening to a message last night about the sower. Some of the seeds were good, some of the seeds were not good. Some of the seeds were a work in progress, but they just didn't make it past that stage. And Abba gave us a seed. Abba planted a seed in all of us. That's why we came to Yahshua. I mean, otherwise, how could that happen? So I want to take my first scripture from Luke 22. If you want to follow along, I got no slides. I got no slides. I take a page out of Alan's book. So that way, make it easier on Deacon Lucas. And then make us work. Put us to work. Open up that scripture. Go through it. Sometimes you find some gems. Even though we read the pilot scripture, you know, there's things around there. You might have a question. Abba might give you an answer. And this one came about, I remember long ago, a brother, he told me something and it stuck with me. So he said, just because you're baptized does not mean you're converted. And I said, what is that? How does that work? So it's a simple concept. And some may, you know, it may sound harsh to some. Especially, you know, you've been doing this a long time. So let's go to Luke 22. You want to follow along? You can just listen. Luke chapter 22, we're taking verses 31, and we're going to read through 34. And basically, I want to talk about Yahshua encourages you and I. And we have this character. His name is Peter. I like the guy. I can relate to that guy. You know, if I saw him in person, you know, we could get along real good. You'll see the reason why as we follow along. Luke 22, verse 31. And this is when Yeshua was about to get executed. So he says, Shimon, Shimon, has Satan has asked to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, turned again, strengthen or establish your brethren. I underline that. And he said unto him, Master, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And he, Yeshua, said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before that you have denied me three times that you know me. So what about us? Maybe Yeshua himself has prayed for some of us. Have we considered this? And consider this. He knows that some of us, we look at Peter, we say, wow, what a wimp. He wimped out. But some of us are weaker than Peter. And remember that it says in the scriptures, we need to give attention, right? We have parts in our body. Some parts are stronger than others. You take care of those parts that are weak, because imagine, you know, something happens. You break your arm, you break your leg. Well, you know, you have to compensate for that. So here we have Simon and we have Yeshua. He told him, hey, listen, I prayed for you. Something that I notice here too. It says here, HaSatan has asked that he may sift you as wheat. So what's going on here? You know, HaSatan, may Yahweh rebuke him, he needs permission. He can't just come and toy with you and I. He needs permission. Yahweh has to grant him permission. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and test my servant Job. Because I know what Job is going to do. And he knows what we're going to do. And when you go back to the parable of the sower, you know, the minister was, he was focusing on those that are given 100%. If you're given 100%, you're giving a lot. You're giving what's required. But if you're in the 30-60, you're not there yet. So he was focusing on those because we got a lot of obstacles. We let a lot of obstacles get in our way. What happened to Peter? Could it be fear? Maybe he was fearful what's going to happen, because they saw him. They said, you're one of them. You speak like them. He said, no, I don't know him. Sometimes that might happen to us. They might catch us in a situation and we say, no, I'm not a believer. No, I don't go to that congregation. I don't know those people. So Yahshua already knows this. And he knows your heart. And he knows your weakness. So does the evil one. But interesting also, if you see that, but I have prayed for you. Yahshua says, I have prayed for you. So who did Yahshua pray to if he's the Father? Did he pray to the Holy Spirit? So these are comforting words. Yahshua already knows the outcome, what's going to happen. But he encourages Peter, I have prayed for you. I know what's going to happen, but I have you in mind. And I'm not going to allow the evil one sift you as wheat. Let's go to 2 Peter. Let's go real quick, because Yahshua gave a command. We say, whatever Yahshua says, I'm going to do. That's what we say. We say, whatever Yahweh says, I'm going to do it. All right, go to 2 Peter, follow along, or you could just listen. 2 Peter, I'm taking 12 to 15. 2 Peter 1, 12 to 15, because Yahshua gave a command. Remember, he says, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. That's what he said. So 2 Peter 1, 12 through 5. Peter, follow Yahshua's command. If you read 2 Peter, you read the beginning of the chapter, Peter tells us that we're already doing certain things, and this is following the first book. But anyway, Peter begins here in 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth that you now have. So we have Yahweh's truth. We're following Yahweh's truth. So Peter is reminding us. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of my body, because I know that this tent will soon be laid aside, as our Adon, Yahshua Messiah, has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to ensure that after my departure, you will be able to recall these things at all times. What is he saying? What is he talking about? You read the first couple verses from 1 through 11. And, you know, he tells us things that are going on, things are going to happen. He knows that you already know the truth. But didn't Yeshua tell him, strengthen your brethren? So that's what he's doing. Sometimes the elders here, that's what they do. They remind us of things that happened to them, you know, way back in the day when they first began, so that we don't make the same mistakes. And Peter knows his time is short. So he says, I'm going to leave you these words to remind you at all times. That's why you can go on your phone, or you can just pick up your scriptures and read the book. And you're going to read what he's reminding you about. And there's nothing new under the sun. Things that were going on back then, the good, the bad. Yahshua was blessing the apostles. Yahshua was blessing us. He was correcting us. We were going through some tough times. False ministers came into the scene. That's what Peter was reminding us about. So now let's turn to Hebrews, if you would, Hebrews. So Peter followed Yahshua's command. If you read the first two books, there's a lot of information in there. A lot of information also, want to remind people, a lot of information that Peter touched on, Paul talked about the same things, because he was chosen of Yahshua. They weren't going to give us a different message. Hebrews 4, verse 15. When we talk about Yahshua, we could say a lot of things, because some people are confused about Yahshua. Some people think he's the Father. Some people think that he wasn't in the Old Testament, that he wasn't pre-existent. They think that he just came on the scene when Miriam had him. Whatever the case, Hebrews 4 and verse 15, look what it says. For we have not a high priest we cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So many people talk about, I was born this way, I was born that way, this and that. They want to excuse behavior. It says, Yahshua, our high priest, was in all points tempted like as we are. So we cannot say, he doesn't understand what I'm going through. And I like to remind people, there's a minister, he likes to say this, and it grabs my attention. It says, Yahshua is a problem. Consider, Yahshua is a problem. Why is Yahshua a problem? Because we have no excuse. You see? You cannot think in your mind, Yahweh doesn't understand me. Yahshua doesn't understand me. We just read, he was tested. He was, to the point of death. And he never gave in to sin. You see what Peter did? You see what the apostles did? They ran the other way. And Yahshua was there all by himself. And another thing, Yahshua can't be the Father, because when Yahshua was on a tree, what did Yahweh do to him? He turned his back on his own beloved son. Why? Because Yahweh can't look on sin. That's why. And if Yahshua took on all the sins of the world, Yahweh can't be involved with sin. So you have a problem, you see? And it's interesting. Yahshua says in John 17:9. We already read there in Luke, right? He said to Peter, I have prayed for you. Reinforcement, John 17:9. Interesting. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So this is reinforcement, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling like you have doubts, I don't know, maybe this is not right for me. You know, that's why before you get baptized, you need to count the cost, because you know the evil one is going to try you like never before, and to the point where you might just want to hang it up and give up. But we have examples, and we have much encouragement here. So Yahweh and Yahshua are working as a team to save mankind from destroying themselves. Consider the fall there after Adam sinned. You know, Noah had to build an ark. What were the people doing in the times of Noah? I mean, they were just nothing new under the sun, just like now. Eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, ridiculing Noah, and then what happened? And if Yahshua said that the trials and tribulations we're going to see are worse than any we have ever seen, what is that telling us? It says when he comes back, is he going to find faith? Are we going to do like Peter and turn around and say, no, I don't know those people. I never met them. Yahshua knew Peter would fail, so he warns him and encourages him. Notice how he says the adversary has asked for permission, once again, to tempt pretty much all the apostles. The evil one tempts even the best of elders. You know of some elders. They walk back into the world. They were in prominent positions, but they were basically servants, and they gave up. We have Peter's letters all along with others to verify that Yahshua will take our petitions to the Father. Again, you're struggling, you're having a hard time, you're confused. You know, we went through Ezekiel 10, we're confused. We don't understand some of the stuff there. And sometimes it's because of translations, but Abba put that in there for a reason. Abba gives us scriptures that we're never, ever, ever going to be able to figure out. Why? Because they're his. But we're supposed to at least search them out. It's like one minister said, Abba knows all your situations even before you pray. You say, I'm going to pray about this, I'm going to pray about that. Abba already knows all that. He already knows all that, everything. Like we heard earlier. Consider how many hairs we have, and he knows every one of them. That's so amazing. That's how great he is. Yahweh wants to hear from us. He knows you have needs. He understands. He wants you to come to him in Yahshua's name. Let's look at a verse in Jude. We'll go, if you were there in Hebrews, let's go there to the back. We'll go to Jude real quick. Sometimes you might give a sermon and you might miss something, you know, in the scriptures that you're using to do your presentation in Jude. So, you know, Jude was saying here too that he gave all diligence to write unto us. And then he switches and he says, I have to rebuke you because something is not right here. So let's go to verse 5. Something that Peter said. 2 Peter and Jude are very similar. If you're in Jude 1:5, it says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that Yahweh, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. So we have a great story about Passover, how Yahweh passed over the Israelites as long as they had, you know, the blood on the doorposts. But there was a lot of firstborn there that didn't make it. Not just your firstborn son, but the beast as well. That's how serious Abba was. And we read in the Torah reading, Yahweh, because of what the people were doing, he said, you know what, forget that. I'm going to take the Levites instead of the firstborn. The Levites, you know, they had a job to do. And because of the firstborn, you know, Abba says, they're still dedicated to me, but I'm going to work with the Levites. That's his plan. That's his intention. We can't, you know, argue with him. So here we have Jude. He says the same as Peter. I know you guys know these things already. I'm not speaking something new here. But I have to remind you that Yahweh saved a people out of the land of Mitzrayim. So the message is still fresh. Why? Because come March, April, what are we going to do? We're still going to keep Passover, right? We're still going to remember the Exodus. So even though you know this, you still continue to rehearse. And when you make it to the kingdom, it's not going to be like something strange to you. It's not like going from keeping Easter to keeping Passover. You know, you're going to have it fresh in your mind. Back to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews. I want to use some of Paul's writings because some people got a lot of issues with the apostle. But we know that Peter himself confirmed him and Yahshua himself chose him. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. We have encouragement. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So you say you have faith, the demons also have faith, right? So here we have Paul or whoever wrote the book, but they're telling us here that the just shall live by faith. So that's what Peter did. Even though, you know, he denied Yahshua, he knew afterwards, wow, man, I committed a sin. I have to atone for this sin. And Yahshua already knew, and so he was going to pray for him. So it says, if any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. So what does it mean to draw back? Well, those that you know that gave up on this faith, they no longer see obedience to Yahweh and Yahshua, you know, as something important. Or maybe they kick Yahshua to the curb. Doesn't it say somewhere that if you have the Son, you have the Father also? You need both. You need them both. The saving name of Yahweh, the saving name of Yahshua. So we have an example too. Judas Iscariot, what did he do? He drew back unto perdition. Not only did he deny Yahshua, but I mean, he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. He gave him up. And on top of that, he betrayed him with a kiss of all things. You know, scripture says we should greet each other with a holy kiss. And a lot of us, we don't practice that here for obvious reasons. But this is a custom in the East. Even the French, they will give you a kiss on each cheek. Nothing major. But this is how Judas betrayed him. Because this is how they would greet one another. That's how they could tell who it was that they had to come and get. Let's continue. We are to do many things besides repentance. We talk a lot about repentance and helping the ministry. So what about studying to show yourselves approved? Did Peter study? Peter and Andrew studied under John the Immerser. That's why when John the Immerser said, behold, the Lamb of Yahweh who takes the sin of the world. They knew who he was because they studied under him, right? If someone asks you about your faith, are you going to run to your minister every time? Oh, wait a minute. I got to call Elder Allen so he can answer this question for you. I got to call Elder Randy. Let me text him real quick, you know. They ask you about your faith. What do you believe in? Why do you do those things? Why do you use that name? So you can't run to your minister every time. You have to study. You have to read. You have to ask questions to the brothers. You know, and to me, it's pretty awesome when you have elders they are honest. They say, you know what? I don't know what this means. I can't answer this question for you. I have to study this. That's humility for you there. Sure, they have the set apart spiritual. They have, you know, a lot of knowledge. You know, not every lay person is as good as an elder, but even things they don't understand, they have to pray to Yahweh and ask for more wisdom. So also, you cannot stop growing in grace and knowledge. Not using grace as a license to sin, you can't stop growing in knowledge. You have to keep on studying. And when you talk about studying Hebrew, when you talk about studying Greek, when you talk about studying Aramaic, that's long lessons. Many, many brothers here, we wish we could master that language because it helps you when you come to a difficult verse. So how many people that have not fully converted or have fallen away forget that Yahshua prays for us? Not only that, he acknowledges us to the Father. Could you consider that? Like when Job was going through his situations, and it says there, you know, that Abba knew what he was going to do. And yet he allowed the enemy to test him. He knows your heart. He knows what you're capable of. The same person that told me that just because you're baptized, you're not converted, also said, any man or woman is capable of anything. You could be great, or you could be the opposite. It just depends. A lot of factors, you know, how you were brought up, what your love for the scriptures are, what your love for your fellow man are. Some of us have a difficult time dealing with outsiders. Some of us have a hard time dealing with bullies. I like people who put bullies in their place. Those are my heroes. And it's not always with violence. You just sometimes say the right words. Some people come, they had a difficult time. They said, no, let me go visit YRM. You know, and I was thinking this earlier. They might meet you. You might open the door for them. You have a smile. You say, good morning, good afternoon. How are you doing? It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. Changed the whole outlook, where we had some that came here and they had a foul spirit. They sat down there, but they had a foul spirit on the Shabbat. They were angry. They didn't want to hear anything. They didn't want to hear comforting words from anyone. Can you imagine that? In Matthew chapter 10, we want to hear right from the horse's mouth. People want, they want answers to their questions. They don't want this happy story, you know. They don't want the cotton candy. They want the truth. Matthew 10, if you take verse 32 and 33, we're talking about this. How great is Yahshua? This is how great Yahshua is, Matthew 10, 32. He says, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. This is how great Yahshua is. If you're doing Abba's will, as we heard in that poem, Yahshua's going to acknowledge you before the Father. So, you know, Yahshua had mercy on Peter for denying him. Can you imagine that? Some of us just, we can't wrap our minds around that. What do you mean you denied the Master? You walked with him for 3 years. He showed you miracles. And you still denied him? How can that be? As Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Did you notice when Yahshua spoke these words, he said his Father was in heaven? Did it click? Yahshua's on earth, his Father's in heaven. We talked about that earlier. the Yahweh in heaven, the Yahweh on earth. If Yahweh is in heaven, then he can't be the Son. It's just that simple. You have to separate the two. They work together, but you have to separate them. We've been trying to get this point across, and the fight will never end because people have questions. They don't know. Their minister taught them something, and they just did not do enough investigation, or they weren't convinced in their mind. So sometimes you have to pray, you have to fast. Okay, since Peter himself confirms Paul as a chosen vessel of Yahshua, let's go to 2 Corinthians, because we're looking for, again, confirmation. We're looking for encouragement. And we want the words from Almighty Yahweh. It's not something that we made up. We didn't go to our mom's basement and dream up some false doctrine. 2 Corinthians 4, you want to follow along? 2 Corinthians 4, we'll take 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 4, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of Yahweh and not of us. All of the scriptures that we have are for instruction and encouragement." Continuing, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. Here's what you and I go through. Here's what the apostles went through. "Being hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Being perplexed, but not in despair. Being persecuted for Yahshua's namesake," right? "But not forsaken. Being thrown down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Master Yahshua, that the life of Yahshua might also be manifested in our bodies." So you say, wow, how come I have to suffer so much? Why I always go through these situations? You know, it's not my problem what other people are doing. I have to, you know, answer for them and stuff like this. Well, if you're following in Yahshua's footsteps, guess what? You're going to suffer the same way he suffered. That's what it is. Except a lot of us, we dig our own ditch. We make our own problems. Our problems were not because of what Yahshua did. He was righteous. We're not on his level yet. We're still striving. So sometimes when you sit down and you analyze it and you say, "How about why am I going through all this?" Well, he might say, "Well, I'm testing you because I want you to show me what you can do." If you encounter a situation in the kingdom, what are you going to do? When somebody comes to you and asks you about the feast, what are you going to do? So you learn the lesson now. Or he might say, "You know what? It's your own fault. You're the one that sinned, not me," right? So now we go through the situation of paying for our sins, and then we're crying about it, right? So our physical body may die, but if we continue to fight the good fight, our spiritual will grow and mature. False teachers are wreaking havoc on many a believer. So that's why I say we need to study to show ourselves approved. And we need to make sure that, you know, we go around telling people, "Well, I think this, I think that," and then maybe it doesn't line up with the scriptures. We got to come back and, you know, take some of that stuff back. And so when you think about it, you know, for those of us that knew, there's a lot of people that knew us from way back in the day, they say, "Wow, this is a whole different person. I don't know that person." I mean, that person used to be out there in the world. He used to party. He used to get drunk. You know, he used to cuss all the time. He just did whatever he wanted. And now he turned, just like Peter, right? He turned like Peter. He did a 180. All right, so let's go to James. Let's go to James. We've seen what Peter said. We see what Paul said, let's continue. This is what we're here for. You want the meat of the word? Maybe you're still on the milk. You got to go through the scriptures, seek, search, and you will find. Yahweh will give you a blessing. You will get an answer to your questions. Maybe not today. But as you grow, so not every baby comes out of the womb eating steak, right? I mean, we sometimes probably wish they would. Hey, get out there, get a job. So let's go to James. We'll take verses 2 through 5. And we got to consider this. Consider the book of James. Consider the book of Jude. You know how many people hate the book of James? A lot of people hate the book of James. Well, James and Jude, half-brothers of Yahshua, go to John 7. They were poking fun at him. A lot of his family, you know, they were around, but they didn't believe in him. Go to James 1, verses 2 through 5. It says, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the proving of your belief works endurance. And let endurance have a perfect work, so that you be perfect and complete, lacking in naught. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Elohim, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it shall be given to him. So here you have a blueprint. You say, man, you know, I come to the assembly and these guys are so smart, I don't know anything about the scriptures. Well, you have to ask. Right? You look at all the brothers, they have so many different talents, and they know how to build things. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, some of it is with practice. You study theory first, and then you go out, and then you take your lumps, and you make your mistakes, and then you pick yourself up like the little baby, you know. Run across the assembly here, and you'll fall, and start crying, you know. Get up, dust yourself off. 5 minutes later, he's smiling like it never happened. That's the beauty of it. It happens to the best of them. You learn, you grow. So now, were the apostles going through a tough time when Yahshua was executed? If you read the story, we got four evangels. They tell us the same story. They were right there with Yahshua keeping the Passover. And the next thing you know, Yahshua is about to be executed for the sins of the world. How do you think they felt? How do you think we would feel if we were there? Right? So were the apostles going through a tough time when Yahshua was executed? Yes. What about us? Have we faced some of our toughest trials during our walk? Think about your walk, your individual walk. Nobody else could answer for you. Nobody else could walk in your shoes. What kind of trials have you faced since you said you were going to follow Yahshua? Right? And it's like at first when you're immersed, you know, you're so delicate because you're just begotten, you know, and you're in the process, you know. And so maybe you lose a loved one. You say, man, this is tough. Somebody that's very near and dear to you might be a mentor, you know, especially parents, grandparents. How about you lose your job? Soon as you get immersed, all of a sudden your boss says, hey, sorry, we're going to have to work on Sabbath. You said no. They say, okay, well, we have to let you go. Oh, well. Abba will help you in your walk. How about, you ever been persecuted? Anybody ever persecute you for your belief? Just constant persecution? I wasn't even in the faith. I was just going to a church in Indiana when I was in Chicago, and the gang members would ridicule us. Ha, 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 you go to church. You know, that kind of hurt. I was like, wow, I'm trying to do the right thing, and, you know, these guys are ridiculing us. But that's just to name a few. Abba will build up your endurance, even going through little things like that, even before you knew Almighty Yahweh. Maybe you were just going to a church and you had people that don't believe and they were, you know, making fun of you. That's a kind of, sometimes it's petty, but in this day and age, you know, anybody gets their feathers ruffled real easily, you know. But when it comes to dishing persecution, boy, I mean, they give it to you. So did Peter ever give up on Yahshua? No. What about James and John? No. Yahshua encouraged the apostles, and he does the same for us through the scriptures in our daily lives. Yahshua is not physically here with us, but we have these ancient words we can look back on every time you go through the Psalms. I want to mention this too. A lot of people, you know, I don't know about you, you know, some prophecy fanatics. I mean, they're real hardcore on the prophecy. You go to Daniel, you go to Revelation, they got questions. Some of the answers are right in the book of Psalms, right there. You think, oh, you know, these cute little stories. No, the answers to some of the prophecies are right there. When Yahshua was on the tree, where did he quote from? Mael, Mael, why hast thou forsaken me? It says they parted his garments, right? They cast lots for his garments. It's right there in the Psalms. When he was in the congregation publishing Yahweh's name, people got mad. It says right there, I will declare your name to the brothers in the congregation. Right there. Psalm 22 is right there. You want answers to prophecies. So even good people who don't know Yahweh receive answers to their prayers because of their integrity and their faith. Hallelujah. Isn't that a great thing? People, they don't know Yahweh. They don't know his name. They don't know the Sabbath. And yet, Abba's answering their prayers. How could that be? Right? One evangelist, I remember I was a young kid. And he come out of Puerto Rico. He was visiting Chicago. So I remember later on in life, I used to see some of his sermons. But he used to encourage the people. You know what he used to say? He'd say, continue to praise him. He's not dead. Speaking of Yahshua, he would say, alábalo, está vivo. So that's why we still do this, you know. We don't stop praising Yahweh. We don't stop giving praise to Yahshua. Yahshua's not dead. He's not on a cross, you know, sitting there suffering right now. He's sitting at the right hand of Yahweh, taking your prayers to him. That's what he's doing. Still obeying Almighty Yahweh, still doing his will, being obedient, still acknowledging you to the Father when you do what is right. He's still working. Let's close this. We'll go back to Acts, the book of Acts, because this is only fitting. You know, this Peter, this cowardly cheerleader at one point, you know, he's told Yahshua, oh, I'm prepared to go to death with you. And what did Yahshua tell him? Acts chapter 2. We'll take Acts chapter 2, and then we'll go to chapter 4, and then a couple more scriptures, and we'll be done. Acts chapter 2. So Yahshua told the apostles, stay in Jerusalem for Pentecost, because I'm going to send you the comforter. I'm going to give you a gift. And this is why also, even on the Shabbat, you might receive a gift. Even in the feast days, you might receive a gift. It's not a little present wrapped up in everything. It's a blessing from Almighty Yahweh that he gives you. All of us have different callings, ministries. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 40 and 41. Peter preaches a powerful sermon. This Peter speaking. And with many other words, he earnestly witnessed and urged them, saying, be saved from this crooked generation. Then those indeed who gladly received his word were immersed. And on that day, about 3,000 beings were added to them. Is that not a powerful sermon from a cowardly cheerleader who denied Yahshua three times? That's the power. That's Yahshua encouraging him. So the scriptures in Acts chapter 2 and 4 give us a glimpse into Peter's conversion after the apostles and believers received a good measure of the Ruach, the power of Yahweh. Slide over to chapter 4 real quick. Cannot leave this out. So it says there are about 3,000 were immersed. Then you fast forward. Then you see the apostles really getting persecuted by religious leaders to the point where they were physically beaten. Acts chapter 4. If you were physically beaten for your faith, would you rejoice? Like Peter and John did? Peter and John before the council. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the set-apart place and the Sadducees came upon them, being annoyed because they taught the people and announced the resurrection from the dead in Yahshua. And they arrested them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men became about 5,000. Do a tally. That's 8,000. One sermon was 3. Over here they're speaking. They're being persecuted, and no matter, they still preach the word of Yahweh. The Apostle Peter stayed in the faith and continued to follow Yahshua, and it's a lesson for us. We're not immune to those sweet words whispered in our ears. After you're baptized, there will be people coming to you, even in the faith, whispering in your ear. Don't follow those guys. They don't know what they're talking about. Come follow us. We got the truth. Don't follow Yahshua. He's not going to help you. Just stay in the Torah. If you haven't met some people who have gone through this, you might later down the road. Hopefully you don't. But it has happened. And we have to put it out there. Because the new people that come in, they might have a different idea of what this walk is about. Kind of similar to marriage. You might think it's one way. And wow, when you find out that it's extremely tough, you might want to give up. It has happened. So I'll close with, I'll take a verse from 1 Kings and then a verse from Hebrews. And I truly hope that if someone was struggling out there, these words energize you. If anything, make you get into the book. Prove these things. Be confident. 1 Kings 8, verse 57. 1 Kings 8, verse 57. And then we can close with Hebrews 13:5. Many of you know where I'm going with this. It says, "May Yahweh our Elohim be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us or forsake us. Be free from the love of money, content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will in no way leave you, neither will I in any way forsake you." Comforting words, right? As long as you stay with it, as long as you stay in the game, as long as you do what you're supposed to. So hallelujah. So besides the comforter, the spirit to help us, we have Yahshua who encourages us through prayers for us and bringing our petitions before Almighty Yahweh. Like the song says, what a friend we have in Yahshua. Hallelujah. May Yahweh bless you. May Yahweh keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. And most of all, may he give you that shalom that surpasses all comprehension.